Hardy greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off with the European Football Championship in France. Poland will play Portugal Thursday in Marseille in the first quarterfinal at Euro 2016. Taking a quick look at the other quarterfinal matchups, Wales will go against Belgium Friday in Villeneuve-d'Ascq. Italy will take on world champion Germany Saturday in Bordeaux. And host France will take on surprise package Iceland Sunday in Saint-Denis, just outside Paris. The Icelanders, coming from a country with a population of about 330,000, are the smallest nation ever to appear in a major championship. But the Icelanders have shown big hearts during the tournament, and they're being described as the feel-good story in France. In the round of 16, Iceland rallied from a 1-0 deficit to topple England 2-1 in Nice. That set off celebrations in Iceland's capital, Reykjavik, and throughout the country. Stefan Paulsson is an Icelandic football historian in Reykjavik. He says no one in Iceland really expected the team to beat England.
I think everyone came to the match mentally prepared that we were bound to lose, or even the optimistic ones were hoping to get to the penalties. And then going down 1-0 in the opening minutes, well, everyone's logic said that then it was completely hopeless. So the revival was superb. And, well, we didn't really... It was only first after the match, you know, when the result had started to sink in, that people went back to the game and said, well, actually, not only did we beat them, but we were actually better.
Meanwhile, Bjarni Felixson is a retired sports commentator in Iceland. Bjarni describes what the victory over England means to him.
It was a great moment for me. I have been involved in football all my life. And now, in my old days, I see the national team beat England. That's the dream come true. And we deserve to win. We played with our heart, and we played simple football. Football is a simple game. And the team had the team unity and the team spirit to beat England, and they did it.
Yes, indeed, Bjarni, they did it. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Iceland's national football team. And let's also hear from a few Iceland fans and their reaction to the team's performance.
The English team is always like they have these star players, and it's always a little bit better winning the England because of the football culture. And, well, I mean, it's always good to win. But England, especially with all those good guys in the team, it was something else. And getting to play against them in the European Cup, also really, really amazing moment. So, yeah, I mean, I have no word to describe the feeling the other night.
It was just absolutely amazing.
I felt like, especially after the game, like I was in a dream. A wonderful adventure. So, it was an unreal feeling. But during the game, I was terribly excited because you would expect the English to get an equalizer, maybe. But it didn't happen, so... We won this magnificent victory over the English, and we are enjoying this now.
Enjoying their team's success at Euro 2016. You've been listening to a few Iceland fans speaking in the capital, Reykjavik. Meanwhile, Chilean football fans are also enjoying their team's success at the recent Copa America tournament here in the United States. Chile's players received a hero's welcome Tuesday after their plane touched down in the capital, Santiago. Chile beat arch-rival Argentina on penalty kicks in the final on Sunday at MetLife Stadium near New York City. It marked the second year in a row Chile beat Argentina on penalty kicks in the Copa America final. Following their big win, many of Chile's players are looking forward to reuniting with their families after spending weeks away for the Copa America competition. After he got off the plane, Chile's midfielder Gary Medel said, and I quote, "A big kiss for everyone." And by kissing the Copa America trophy once again, Chile is expected to move up in the July FIFA World Rankings. Chile is currently ranked number 5 in the world behind Germany, Colombia, Belgium, and top-ranked Argentina. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And in just a few minutes, if you check out my Facebook page, you'll see some of my sporty friends in action right here in Studio 22 on Facebook Live. That's right. Facebook Live coming up on the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook Live. And post your comments when you see the video. I'll try to read out a few of your comments during the show. Facebook Live coming up in just a few minutes. Well, the sports world continues to pay tribute to Muhammad Ali, the three-time world heavyweight boxing champion who died June 3rd at age 74 after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. During the recent BET Awards in Los Angeles, Layla Ali, a retired boxer herself, choked up as she spoke about her late father's legacy. Layla said her father lived his life with conviction and purpose. She said, and I quote, "He is known as the greatest athlete of all time, a man who fearlessly faced opposition both in and outside the ring." In the ring, Muhammad Ali played a starring role in some of the greatest fights of all time. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
There are fights that people always talk about, truly like Manila, the fights with Joe Frazier in the Madison Square Garden. But the one that will always be in my mind was the one I grew up watching in Africa at 3 a.m. in the morning, Rumble in the Jungle.
Mm.
We never heard of anything called rope-a-dope or the shuffle, but we in Africa was able to see it the first time. And that left a big impact on the game. And right after that, the game of boxing really went way up on the continent of Africa. So that fight there, and the fight he was able to juice up the gates. When you say juice up the gate, what do you mean by juice up the gate? Talk up the fight, make you want to get out of your house to go watch the fight, make you want to stay up late till 3 a.m. in the morning to catch the fight. That's where people like Floyd Mayweather and all these people, this is where they learned it from, juicing up the gate.
In many ways, Namdi, it seems like that golden era of boxing is so long gone in terms of the hype and the rivalries and all of it.
Sonny, those days, men were fighting men. Promoters were not controlling situations like we have today. What we have today, we have fighters who are businessmen, scared of the number one contender, scared of the champion. Everybody's maneuvering. Nobody wants to take on a tough fighter. It's all about the money. Those days, you have Ernie Shaver taking on Muhammad Ali. Ken Norton going against Muhammad Ali. Joe Frazier is right there. All these big bombers right in the mix. But what we have today, just a bunch of fat pretenders.
That's an interesting point, Namdi. Nobody wants to fight the tough fighters. Ali fought Frazier three times. He fought Norton three times. He didn't avoid anyone.
No, those days, the guys, they fought the best. They didn't run away from the best. They fought the best. And that was why those days, fight fans would just ride into it, because none of what we see today whereby, oh, this guy is not a contender, this guy, because what fans demanded, that's what the promoters put on. And then I think until we get back to those days, the golden days, the fight game will still be struggling. I mean, look at a guy who's Chris Arreola, who can barely hold the bag of Muhammad Ali those days, now fighting for a world heavyweight title.
And finally, Namdi, you mentioned George Foreman and the Rumble in the Jungle. And to bring it full circle, I think Foreman said that he and Ali and Frazier, it was almost like they were one person, that they all needed each other to complete their legacy.
That was when the game was controlled by the heavyweight division, which ran the game and made the game what it is today. The game was fun to watch those days. Those days, you remember, this fight is coming up Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. You know, you see action, not two guys running around the ring.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And let's give a sporty hello to all my Facebook Live friends joining me right here in Studio 22. Lots of sporty action here. And I'm going to introduce a few of my sporty friends. On my right, Ben Cento, Voice of America sports reporter. Say hello, Ben.
Sporty greetings, everybody.
All right, Ben. On Ben's right, another VOA sports reporter, Toddy Abeje.
Sporty greetings, the fans.
Nice to have you here, Toddy. And last but certainly not least, here in Studio 22, Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski.
Sporty greetings. Good to have you all with us. We can't see you, but we hope you can see us.
Yeah, we hope that live video streaming is going well. And let me give a quick shout out to our Facebook Live videographer, Jules Struck. My producer this evening, Bill Werkinger, says every woman likes jewels. Jewels. I think that's correct.
Yes.
All right, let's bring in Andrew Palcheski into the conversation. Andrew is our social media guru. Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, we talked about Marcus Willis yesterday. He's, of course, playing at Wimbledon. He has this kind of success story where he's ranked 772nd in the world. He had to go through all these matches to get into the main draw at Wimbledon, had to qualify. And now he's playing Roger Federer in the second round. So there is lots of excitement. He, you know, won his first match ever at Wimbledon, was a week away from quitting tennis, decided not to. Now here he is on center court playing Roger Federer. So the internet has just seized on this story. It's the feel-good story of Wimbledon so far. Just lots of excitement for Marcus Willis. Ben Rothenberg, tennis writer who I follow, says he can't remember the last time he was this excited for a match, and he doubts that Marcus Willis can either. And that's one of many tweets that we're seeing just as the match is progressing, people following along. Something that the very keen-eyed social media followers pointed out is that Marcus Willis is playing Roger Federer, and Marcus Willis is wearing a Roger Federer tennis polo. You see the RF on his sleeve, so he's wearing a Roger Federer-branded tennis apparel. So people saying, how crazy is this that not only is he playing against, you know, one of his heroes, he's wearing his shirt, too, that he, you know, has. So just a lot of excitement. The first set wasn't so great for Marcus Willis. He lost the first set 6-love, but when he won that first game in the second set, I think it was the loudest since Andy Murray won Wimbledon a few years ago. It's been on center court. It's just everyone was jumped up and cheered. So you're seeing lots of great photos and video of that on social media. And it's just really, like I said, a feel-good story.
Lots of excitement at Wimbledon and lots of excitement with Facebook Live. This is the inaugural Sunny Side of Sports Facebook Live. And I'm already getting bombarded with comments at my Facebook page. Quick shout out for Luis Piazet, my friend in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Luis gives us weekly reports on Rio's preparations for the Olympics. Remember, they get underway August 5th. Luis, he checks in from Rio. Congrats to you all. Looking and sounding great. It's historical. It is historical, Andrew, this inaugural Facebook Live.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, we are just as much as the sports world, we are following along with this Facebook Live, because as we've talked about many times on the show, that is kind of the new frontier for a lot of athletes and teams broadcasting their lives, their sports on Facebook Live and other streaming services. So the fact that we're doing this fits very well with our sports theme, because it's something that the sports world's doing quite a lot of.
Ben Cento is watching that Wimbledon match. What do you think so far of the game between Federer and Willis, Ben?
Well, Willis is just having a great time. You can see when he walked in, he was smiling from ear to ear. Even if he loses a point, he's smiling from ear to ear. He's just happy to be there. Maybe he doesn't necessarily expect to win, but he's definitely giving Federer a good match, and Federer is having a lot of fun, too. A
lot of fun. Tadia Benji's having a lot of fun,
yes,
too.
Yes, I am having a lot of fun. Just like Bruce, the British guy.
Yeah. Willis, our friend Willis.
Willis, yes. So like Willis.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world today?
Well, we'll stick with tennis, and this actually moves on to Rio. Serena Williams, of course, playing in Wimbledon, and she gave a presser yesterday where she said that she thought it was sad that athletes are skipping the Olympics due to Zika fears. Now, earlier this month, she said she would have to think long and hard about, you know, the health concerns and how she was going to prepare for that. I don't think there was ever a doubt in her mind, however, that she would be going to the Olympics. She always said that she was going to go play with Venus in the doubles and play in the singles. But she's come out now and said that she thinks it's sad. You know, Jason Day, the American golfer, just came out and said that he thinks he's not going to go because of the Zika fears. So Serena's saying that's sad. It's unfortunate that he can't go, that other players have said they can't go. I think there might be, you know, some social media conversation that she generates because of this, these comments that she's saying it's sad. People weighing the health concerns versus Olympic glory. She is a fierce competitor, so she's chosen Olympic glory. And she said, you know what, even if it's going to be a health issue, I'm going to prepare myself as best I can. I'm going to try to, you know, mitigate the the chances of me getting any kind of Zika or any other instances of health problems. But yeah, it just came out, these comments, so we'll see in the next couple days, and indeed until the lead up to Rio, how that might play out, whether this conversation continues.
And during Tuesday's show, Andrew, I remember you mentioning how it looks like Novak Djokovic, who won his match at Wimbledon earlier Wednesday, will be going to Rio in pursuit of that golden slam.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as we talked about with Jason Day, it's not just the female athletes, the male athletes as well who are looking to start a family or have families. Novak Djokovic, of course, is married and has a young son. But the allure of that golden slam, I mean, he would be the first man ever to win the Golden Slam, to win all four of the Grand Slam tournaments and the gold medal, and only the second tennis player after Steffi Graf did it in 1988. So there's some, you know, big records on the line for him. Of course, Serena and Venus, this may be their last Olympics playing doubles. So they want to keep playing until they, you know, until they can't physically play anymore. But they're getting older, so this is a consideration for them as well. But this conversation is one that we're going to see continue on social media, I have no doubt, in the next couple weeks.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to watch us right now on Facebook Live. And I also encourage you to check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see me in a nice African shirt during Facebook Live right now, although I must admit the shirt was made in Bangladesh. That's just the way it is.
But it looks great regardless. It looks, and now all our fans can see us. You can see what we're wearing. You see your shirt, so it's a great thing.
You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, you mentioned the Olympics. And Toddy, I know LeBron is not going to the Olympics in Rio, but he's making some headlines still.
Yes, he is. He's going to opt out of his contract with the Cavaliers for financial reasons so he can make more money with the Cavs, which is an excellent business decision.
So he'll be sticking with the Cavaliers.
He'll be staying with the Cavaliers, as he promised.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
I want to talk about this young guy from Iran, Sajjad Gharibi. He is 24 years old. And he is a power lifter. He can lift over 400 pounds,
wow,
which is an impressive feat in and of itself. But then, you know, on the theme of our Facebook Live viewers being able to see us, you take a look at a picture of Sajjad, and you see that he is absolutely massive. In fact, he's getting compared to the Incredible Hulk, and has kind of gone viral on social media with these pictures where they put him side by side with pictures of the Incredible Hulk, of course, the superhero, and the resemblance is uncanny. Now, Sajjad is not green like the Incredible Hulk, but his arms and his shoulders and his chest are just about as big. So he's actually been racking up Instagram followers as a result of going viral. He's got over 62,000 Instagram followers now as these pictures have made their way around,
wow,
the internet. But again, it's one of these instances in sports where, just as impressive as his athletic feats are just the imagery behind it and the way he looks. I mean, I think his arms are about my size, each of them. He's just massive. So, you know, he's gone viral as a result.
And you think we'll be seeing him in Rio powerlifting?
It's quite possible. I haven't read if he's going to Rio or not, but, you know, I hope he is. I hope he's going to, you know, and if he's not going to Rio, I don't think this will be the last we've heard of him. I think now that the internet has kind of caught wind of this and seen him, they want to follow him. And similar, bringing it full circle, to Marcus Willis. I think now that he, even if he loses this match to Federer, and I think everybody, just about everybody on earth thinks he will, I don't think this is the last we're going to hear about Marcus Willis. I think even if he doesn't excel on the world stage in tennis, I think he's going to pick up a lot of social media followers. We could see him maybe get some endorsement deals or do some kind of promotional things, especially in the UK, where he's kind of become this folk hero. So that's really the power of social media for these athletes. It highlights their athletic ability, but if you use it correctly and manipulate it correctly, you can go very far with social media.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the June 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. There he is. I think we can see him. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. Say hello, Nick. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you, all your Facebook Live, my Facebook Live friends. Thanks for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On June 23rd, the Puntland government closed down independent Dalgir Radio's FM station in the state capital of Jaro, reportedly for interviewing former governor of Bari province, Abdissamad Gallen. The action drew a sharp response from the United States. The United States mission to Somalia issued a statement calling the closure of Radio Dalgir a direct contradiction of the right of free expression, and urging the Puntland government to honor its commitment to shared support for press freedom and reopen Radio Dalgir without delay. According to the State Department's Human Rights Report, during 2015, federal and regional authorities subjected journalists to violence, harassment, arrest, and detention. The report also noted that Al-Shabaab killed 5 journalists and harassed and threatened others. Freedom of expression is a universal human right, as outlined in Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and protected under Article 18 of the Somalia Provisional Constitution. This freedom is critical to a free society and to an open and transparent electoral process. The United States salutes Somalia's journalists who, day in and day out, struggle under extreme threat to their safety and well-being to defend this inalienable right on behalf of the Somali people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 18-year-old prison sentence given to former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba by the International Criminal Court for rape and murder in the Central African Republic. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing. So definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.